Let us rise and join our hearts in prayer. May the words which I speak and the thoughts of our minds be upon you, Lord Jesus, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Word of God, which serves as the basis for our sermon today, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, in which the Apostle Paul quotes Psalm 68. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. This is our text. In the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, my dear friends in Christ, unity is something that is not easily attained or even maintained. This is true in politics. Just look at the Democratic Party right now. This is true in family life, because no matter how large or even small your family is, there has to be some brother-in-law that you don't get along with. And things aren't the way they should be in the Christian church either. That's what our free conference was all about. The Apostle Paul is most anxious that the Ephesian congregation would be a unified church. And indeed, the chapter from which our text is taken is entirely about unity. And it is interesting to note that our text is an ascension text. And from the standpoint of human reason, one would think that if anything would divide the church, it would be the absence of her Lord. And so Paul takes great pains in our text to show us that it is the unified Lord, the ascended Lord, who unites us. The ascended Lord unites us, first of all, by giving us the joy of salvation. And he unites us also by giving us the triumph of his ascension. Finally, we as a church are unified by the gifts of the ascension. Our Lord's descent as a human being brought joy to angels and men alike. And likewise, his ascension into heaven is cause for us to rejoice. Our task as pastors is to proclaim this joy to our members so that they indeed know that they have the salvation that the whole church possesses. But sin is a very divisive force. It divides people from God. It divides people from people. It divides pastors from their congregation. And the problem is that as pastors, we constantly see our members' sins, our members' failings, their negative attitudes. And we often adopt those attitudes. At a Winkle I once attended, a brother began his devotion by saying, "I believe that voters' meetings are of the devil." It's easy to adopt that attitude because, you see, we do at times minister to very angry and divided people, to fathers who refuse to speak to their sons, to couples who act as if they are anything but the one flesh that God sees them as. I have to admit that sometimes I go to bed at night wondering if I was of any benefit to the kingdom of God that day. And I am reminded of my baptism. I am reminded that I am the object of God's saving love, and that I have been empowered by God for the ministry of reconciliation. And so, as pastors, our task is to proclaim this joy of salvation. T.H. Spurgeon said that when you preach the gospel, do so with the biggest smile you can muster on your face. But when you preach the law, preach about the ugliness of sin death. Use your normal faith. The author of Psalm 68, to which our text refers, knows full well the unifying effect that the joy of salvation can have upon a sinful human race. He says, "Let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God. Sing praise to His name. Extol Him who rides on the cloud. His name is the Lord, and rejoice in Him." My friends, the one who rides on the clouds is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, flesh of our flesh, bone of our bones, the one the Father anointed in order to die for us, to reconcile us to God and to one another. That wonderful message of salvation, a message that should be preached with the biggest smile you can muster on your face, is that all people have died with Christ. That through baptism, we all have been buried with Him, and through faith in Him, we have been raised again to new life, to live in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. To a church that is full of people who have been discriminated against. To a congregation full of people who in one way or another have been mistreated by the world. Our Father in heaven tells us that we are co-heirs to an inheritance of eternal life, of forgiveness, and of peace with Him. So the psalmist says, "Let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful." The church is also united by the fact that our ascended Lord has triumphed. St. Paul says, "He led captivity captive." Now, I know you've heard this illustration before, but it bears repeating. Long ago, when a Roman general would celebrate his triumph, he would do so by riding into Rome with all of his captives tied behind his chariot. The ascension into heaven by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was the fact that He led all things that once held us captive into captivity. Christ's ascension defeated, first of all, the world. Its temptations had no effect on Him. Its persecutions did not destroy His faith. His faithfulness cancels out our faithlessness and declares us to be God's special people. Sin also was led captive by our ascended Lord. Oh, Christ was crushed under the weight of our sins. But He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He led our sins into the empty tomb, and He has kept them there captive. Because Christ once stood condemned, now St. Paul could say to the Romans and to us, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." Death also has been led into captivity. Death no longer is the king of dread. Death's sting has been taken away because, you see, Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven with that very same body with which He once descended into death. And so, you see, not even death can divide the Christian church. So Paul says, or rather Jesus says, "He who believes in Me, even though he were dead, yet shall he live." Finally, Satan. Satan is to be pitied most of all. For you see, the resurrection, as it were, crushed his head with the heel. But now the ascension is the twisting of that heel, for it is the proclamation that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ need not be physically with His church to protect it. The atonement is complete. The word is true. The church is indeed whole. And so the message of the ascension is the message of Good Friday. Consummatum est. It is finished. I would add the words of Psalm 68. Sing to God. Sing praise to His name. Extol Him who rides on the cloud. He is the Lord. Finally, the Christian church is united through the gifts of the ascension. Paul says, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And Paul goes on to list those gifts. He says there are apostles, prophets, and evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, I'm not going to bore you with an exegetical rehash of those offices. Simply to say that the sum of all of those offices is the Holy Spirit. In the gospel lesson of a week ago, Jesus told His disciples, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The giving of the Holy Spirit was the benediction of the Ascension Day. For to conquer the world, to win the world for Christ, we need nothing more than the Holy Spirit and the means of grace that He uses. It is the Holy Spirit who uses evangelists throughout the world to demonstrate that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is the Holy Spirit who uses teachers and pastors to equip the saints for the working of the ministry. It is the Holy Spirit who enables the tiniest of children and the wisest of octogenarians to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. In this one ascension gift, we have the promise. Indeed, we have the assurance that there is one body, one spirit. The church cannot be divided. Brothers, your elders may be apathetic. Your church council may constantly bicker. And it may seem as though your voters' meetings are of the devil. But the church is united. The joy of salvation is ours. The Holy Spirit is with us. Our ascended Lord has triumphed. May God grant that in all the days of our ministry, we would indeed know the church stands united under our ascended Lord. In His precious name we pray. Amen.